Sims. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes, Granville, large town. That's what everybody wants to be called. Pete Large Town Sims. Never mind. My mum said to me recently that she thought it could sound good if I hyphenated it. Mr. and Mrs. Granville Sims. What do you think? That could work for you, Nikki. Hello. Happy Easter to everybody. We're having a great time together, aren't we? It's Tom, could I have a little bit of this in the wedges, please? I like to hear myself just occasionally. Thank you. Cheers, mate. That movie that Matt and Si put together earlier was fantastic, about the board games, and it got me thinking. It made me chuckle, actually, hearing about Matt's son, because I had to win when I was younger. I had to win. Is there anybody else who felt like that when they were young and playing board games or playing any sort of sport? Is there anybody else who can sort of recognise that in themselves? Just a few. Thank you for joining me in that. I really had to win. I didn't cheat, but I was determined, and I couldn't see the point of anybody saying things like, it's just a game. It's just a game? It's a ridiculous thing to say. You play it to win or don't play it at all. And as a young boy playing Monopoly, for example, you know you've got to do that annoying circuit of the board, or sometimes even two, before you can start buying. And when you finally get round, you land on a station. No, but that's rubbish. And then on your next throw, you land on a utility. And everybody else seems to be picking up these wonderful coloured bits that you know you love. I love the light blues. I want some power around the corner into pink. I definitely want red and yellow in a game of Monopoly, because they're cool, that back straight. And when other people start doing it, and then there are people you play against who think it's fun to buy one of everything. And they're the people who won't make the deal. You're like, come on, I'm going to swap you my two browns for Mayfair. Why won't you swap? And they're like, no, Mayfair and the keys to your car. Did anybody else used to write IOUs in Monopoly? We used to go for days. So we'd be like, I owe you 17,000, I know. It was crazy. Other times when I was not very good in a game, I don't think I was fun to play with. Things like Taboo or Articulate. When you're waiting for somebody to just describe it and nothing's coming out of their mouth. Like, come on. You can see the countdown going. You can see the timer running out. You're like, say something, Dad. Say something. Dad's like, and then he would go, I'm not very fast, am I? I'm like, Dad, come on, faster, faster. And then the time runs out. Or people who, like, it's a game of Pictionary and all you've got to do is draw a mouth. And the person drawing with you starts off with the head shape. You're like, head, head, hair, hair, ears, ears, eyes, chin, what is this? Nose, mouth with an arrow to it. You're like, mouth? Are you kidding me? Mouth, you've just drawn half the time up for mouth. Anyway, yeah, so I used to get quite stressed by stuff. In fact, I was a terrible loser until about the age of 15. It got worse and worse, and this is not a funny story, because to hear that somebody at 15 did the following is not cool. At the age of 15, I was playing snooker in our house. We had a table that sort of, you took the top off, took the lid off, and it became a snooker table. Playing with my dad, thought I was going to win the game. He beat me. I lost it. I snapped the cue, punched something as I walked out, ran down the garden, sat against the back of the shed, like, enraged, tears running down my face, so furious that I was so bad at losing. And suddenly, the comedy is gone. Don't worry, that doesn't happen anymore. What was amazing, actually, you know, we hear stories about people meeting Jesus. When I gave my life to Jesus, that stopped completely. Overnight. That's like, you know, if I had an addiction thing or something, my story is that my temper disappeared. I still play to win. I don't quite see the point of deliberately not winning, but I can cope with losing. People who've played sport against me might be questioning that, but you know, I'm better than I was, trust me. Now, this Easter, I've been thinking about the concept of being victorious and winning at all costs. Winning at all costs. There's a lot of that in the news at the moment. If you look at a particular country's cricket team, they've decided, you know, a few of their people decided to tamper with the ball just to make it a bit rougher on one edge so it will swing a bit more in the air early on in the game and get a few wickets. They decided to cheat. It was a decision they made that winning was more important than sticking to the rules and the regulations of the game. We've seen entire countries not allowed to be at the Winter Olympics because of drug taking in the culture of sport in their country. And we hear about it all the time in different sports, that people are taking performance-enhancing drugs, all sorts, just because they're desperate to win at any cost. They've started on this journey, and it becomes so important to them to win that they seem to lose their mind sometimes. You know, when I was studying at university, we studied this thing called the Goldman's Dilemma. And this was a study that was done in the 80s and 90s. And it was a very simple premise, asking elite athletes, would you take a drug today that would guarantee that you would win an Olympic gold, and it would guarantee success in every event you took part in from today onwards for the next 5 years, but after 5 years, 5 years after you took the drug, you would die? Over 50% of athletes questioned in the 80s and early 90s said yes, they'd take it anyway. Now that seems to be a crazy thing, doesn't it? A crazy thing that people are so desperate to win that they'd be like, no, for that glory, having my name in lights and all of that, I would take that tablet and have a five-year life from now. That's important to me. Winning at all costs. And we've heard from Pete's testimony that is something that happens. We enter this rat race and we just want to keep going and winning and winning and winning at all costs. And today we're looking at the theme of victorious. We're looking at the theme of victory. And I want to look at what it means for Jesus to be victorious. What was the cost that he was prepared to pay for us? What was that high price? What did it look like for him? As Matt said in the video earlier on, many people about 2,000 years ago were waiting for Jesus' arrival. This Messiah, this guy who would come and transform everything. They wanted Jesus to come and overthrow the Romans. They expected a military leader. They wanted an earthly king. They knew what they thought Jesus' victory would look like. Jesus had lived with them, though, for 3 years. He'd laughed with them, he'd cried with them, he'd eaten with them, he'd taught them, he'd demonstrated to them, and then he'd said, go on, you go and have a go at this. They'd done life together. And Jesus showed us a completely different way of doing life and a different way to achieve victory. These words that I'm about to read, they sound weak sometimes, but they are so strong. Jesus taught us the way of love, the way of peace, the way of forgiveness, of kindness, of unity, of compassion, of mercy. But there was a battle that he had to face, a victory that he had to win, and there was such a high cost to be paid. His 3 years with his disciples all pointed towards and climaxed with one particular three-day period, the period that we're remembering this weekend. Jesus' goal was to restore us to the relationship with God that we were designed to have. Is that a relationship that you're craving for, both here on earth and for eternity? That meant that Jesus had to deal with the things that separate us from God. And on Good Friday, we remembered that he was betrayed, he was denied by his friends, he was deserted, and he went to the cross to die, taking on himself all of that shame, all of that wrongdoing and evil, the stuff that we can never break free from in our own strength. He took it all on himself so that we won't have to carry it anymore. We can be set free. Victory at all costs. The highest price for Jesus was paid. So that's Friday. And then came Saturday, yesterday. Let's put ourselves in the disciples' shoes for a second. He's dead. The man we loved, followed, served, believed in. Was it true, all that he's taught us, all that he said? Is he who he says he is? What's going on? Life's not working out the way we hoped that it would. We're totally confused. Is that where you find yourself today? Thinking that life isn't where you thought it would be? What is going on? I'm totally confused with what life is all about. We know the end of the story. The disciples didn't. On that Saturday, they didn't know what was coming. If we know Jesus, we know the end of the story. And I'm inviting you today, if you don't know Jesus personally, there is an end to the story, which is so exciting. Because today, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Jesus not being dead, but being alive. We celebrate an empty tomb. Death and separation from God have been defeated once and for all. Love has won. We have access to God. And all we have to do is accept it. My challenge today to us is that will we be those who stop striving in life? Stop trying to do the journey of life in our own strength. Victory is ours. He's already won. We spoke of winning at all costs. The cost for us to have victory was Jesus' life. But he gave it willingly for you and for me. He paid the highest price. And the question is, will you accept it? Someone's paid the tab. We're about to go out for lunch. And I know that Mum Sue is buying us Sunday lunch today. Mum Sue's picking up the tab for us. All we have to do is accept it. The same is true in life when it comes to Jesus. There was a price that we couldn't afford to pay. He's picked up the tab. All we have to do is say thank you and accept what he's done for us. No more winning at all costs, but winning because he has paid the ultimate and the highest cost for us. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Lord Jesus, on this Easter Sunday day, we remember your death and your resurrection. We remember that you gave up everything. You paid the highest cost for us, that we might live, that we might have life in all its fullness, as you said. Lord, thank you that you have given us a hope and a future. Thank you, God, that invitation is open to everybody here. And I've not done this before on an Easter Sunday service, but I'd like to give us an opportunity to respond. If you feel that, yeah, I want some of that. I want what Pete was talking about. I want what Phoebe was talking about. I want what Matt was talking about in the video, or some of the stuff I've said. Or you've been journeying for a while and you just think, yes, today's the day. No more sitting on my hands. I want to give my heart to Jesus. He will transform your life. He will bring you that peace and that joy that is deep and can't be taken away. And he promises to be with you in the ups and downs of life. He doesn't promise to smooth it all out, but he promises to take you by the hand and be with you every step of the way. So I think probably the best way to do it is an old school way. If you'd want to just bow your heads. And if you think that that's you and you'd like to give your hearts to Jesus, I wonder if you could just be brave enough while everyone's got their head down to stick your hand in the air. And I'll do my best to see your hand, see if anybody's putting the hand up. But why don't you do that now? I'm only going to wait for about 10 seconds and then we'll carry on with the service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you to the three of you. You've got your hands up. That's fantastic. So exciting. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, that three more people have decided that they'd like to give their lives to you. And so come and find me at the end, you three, please, because I'd love to chat with you, pray with you. That would be awesome. Give you some information, give you a Bible, tell you what to do. But hey, let's enjoy the rest of the service. Thanks for listening.